The gospel for this day comes to us from the Gospel of John. When it was evening at that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, amongst all the words spoken here this day, please let your word be heard in our hearts. In the name of your Son, amen. You know, it's funny to do this service. You know, Pentecost, we did Easter outside. Here we are doing Pentecost outside. You know, I mean, I've been a priest for 30 years, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, this is a new one for me. I mean, it's different than it is. As I started to think about Pentecost and what we were going to experience, I mean, Pentecost is where the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. It's where actually they believe that the church is formulated, the calling of the people together. And it's where, you know, in a sense, the people are marked by the Holy Spirit. As you know, if you remember your baptism, which probably most of you don't, but because you're an infant, but you're sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. In other words, you're branded. You're branded to belong to God. But as I walked through the church this week, I started to almost chuckle to myself because, to be honest with you, what we've been using the church for in here almost looks more like a warehouse than it does a sanctuary now. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, all this stuff, the tents, the tables, you know, the everything that we've got, the cart that Dana made, the table that Dana made, all that stuff has been smack dab in the back of the church. I mean, all the food that you give that's been going out, which, by the way, you guys are doing a great job with Gifts of Love. I mean, we've had 10 times the amount of food coming in that we normally have, and they are just so grateful because we keep sending them more and more food. But all that stuff is just sort of stacked in the back there, and if on any day of the week, in fact, Katie said it a couple of weeks ago, "I almost feel like we should clean this place up." I said, "Nah, let it be. Let it be." As I started to think about that on this day of Pentecost, I remembered an old story that I was going to tell you, but I'm going to read to you instead because I think it'll be more accurate. And I think it'll speak, hopefully, to your heart of if this is the beginning of the gathering of people of God together, what we're supposed to be. The story reads like this. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the very devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, went out day and night, tirelessly searching for those who were lost. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and gave of their time, money, and effort to support its work. New boats were brought and new crews trained. The little life-saving station grew. Some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. They replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the larger building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully because they used it as sort of a club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decoration, And there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club's initiations were held. About this time, a large ship wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwrecks could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split among the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station. So they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that occurred in the old. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. History continues to repeat itself. And if you visit that seacoast today, you'll find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most of the people drown. You know, so often we forget what we are. And on this day of Pentecost, where, in a sense, the community of God comes together, and we're called to learn that the Holy Spirit has been given us to empower us to actually serve God and serve others, I wonder how many of us do that. I wonder how many of us really look at this as a gift to us. I mean, how many times do you look for the Holy Spirit to really empower you to help someone else, and how many times do you look for the Holy Spirit to guide you to get your life straightened out? Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit isn't there to get your life straightened out. Trust me, it works overtime in my life. But the main emphasis of the Holy Spirit is for you to connect to God so you can serve God. And that means it's not about you. It means it's about serving God. And then when all of a sudden God becomes the center of our lives, everything around us changes. Maybe it doesn't change. The environment might not change. But you change in the way you look at everything else. The way you look at other people. The way you care for the environment. The way that you serve in a way, and in most of all, to me, to be honest with you, the way that you can meet adversity with joy. How many of us have moaned and groaned because, oh my God, it's not the way it was? I hope it doesn't go back to the way it was. I don't necessarily like the way it's going right now with all the unrest. But I hope we move forward to where we mature, to where we make ourselves even better than we were, even stronger than we were, but that we serve more than we've ever served before. I've never seen a happy person get older and go to their grave and really be happy when they're egocentric. When you're self-centered, to tell you the truth, you always find a reason to be irritated. But when you're God-centered, there's always the ability to have joy. A joy and a peace that passes all understanding. You might not get it right away in the midst of a difficult situation, but to be upfront with you, if all of a sudden in that difficult situation you take the moment to stop and look at what's going on and ask God what he's trying to teach you in that situation, all of a sudden something changes about you in that situation, even if the situation doesn't change. You change, and that's what this has all been about. Christianity is much more a system of transformation than it is a system of morals and ethics. Just because you're moral and ethical doesn't mean that you've been transformed. But when you are transformed, you'll be beyond moral and ethical in the way that you live. and you'll be beyond where all of a sudden you're the center of the universe, because you'll know God is. And in serving Him, you'll have joy and peace that you will never, ever imagine that you could have had. On this day of Pentecost, I hope you feel and know that the power of the Holy Spirit's in you. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to make it about you? Or are you going to make it about God and the people that God leads you to? It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.